changes. It comes to all of us, including this podcast. We're going to talk about it and more this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everybody. As always, I'm your host, Matt Freites. I hope that this finds you well. I want to thank everybody for tuning in like I always do. Last week, I did not come out with an episode because, as I alluded to at the top of the show, changes are coming to this. But I don't want to scare everybody off by saying that they are drastic changes. Nothing is actually going to change about the audio form of this podcast. To take a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, which I do a lot, but bear with me here. When I created this podcast, the idea was that it would remain something that was easy to do. And the reason that it's so short, the reason that I only tackle one topic a week, unlike a lot of other podcasts, is because I want to remain viable. I want to be able to do this for the long haul. And I feel like keeping it as short as I do makes it manageable with the life that I have, full-time job, dad, all that stuff. You all know that I do other content as well. And I do other content in the sneaker world, and I do that on YouTube. And up until recently, that was also called Fire Footwear Sneaker Talk. And the videos were different. They were not just repeats of everything that happens here in the podcast. But lately, I've been feeling this sort of creative void. I've wanted to do more in the video world. I've been putting out a lot more reels. I've been doing a lot more tweaking of the video. And I feel like up until now, I've been constantly changing the video, constantly improving. Same thing with this. And I feel like it's come to a point where I want to branch off a little bit. The podcast was always going to remain sneakers because one thing that I learned through mistakes that I have made is that diversifying your content too much actually makes your show and your content almost out of reach for a lot of people. Because if you're striving to reach everybody, you're going to, in the end, reach nobody. Everybody that listens to this, everybody that has come to me, sent me messages, part of the group, part of the community that is Fire Footwear, have helped build what we have here. The audio is never going to change. I'm going to continue to be a voice in the sneaker world through this audio podcast, but in the video world, I want to do some other things. I want to rebrand the YouTube content to be more about, selfishly, me. I'm a solo creator. I don't generally have many other voices as a part of my content. I do interviews here and there. I'm on other podcasts here and there, but for the most part, it is me. And I'd like to think that if you subscribe to this, listen to this, you are listening to this because you like me. The sneaker topics, the sneaker takes that I have probably aren't that original compared to a lot of the sneaker topics that many other content creators are talking about. And that's where it comes down to the future of sneaker content. And I don't want to stop doing sneaker content. That's not what I'm saying at all. As a matter of fact, on YouTube, I want to tell these stories in a different way. And I want to transition to that over time. I've learned many skills doing this podcast. I've learned many skills over the years through photography and through video making. And the first videos that I made are not as good as they are now. And even today, just cutting a video right before I sat behind this microphone, it's improved from what it was yesterday. It's improved from what it was a month ago. And so I want to tell stories. I want to do reviews, but I want to do them in a different way, a refreshing way. Instead of standing behind a camera, showing you a shoe on screen, telling you all the details of it, there are so many people that do that that I don't want to repeat that. I want to take the shoe out in the wild. I want to give you cinematic B-roll footage. I want to do a lot of different artistic things that showcase the shoe, but also showcase my skills, showcase myself in a way to which your investment in this brand, your investment in me, will be rewarded with quality content. You'll still get the same opinions. You'll still get the reviews. You will still get me sitting in front of a camera giving you an opinion. We're always going to have that as our bread and butter. And so going forward, the YouTube channel, if you have not subscribed, is now just Matt Freites. That's all that it is. There will be playlists for the audio versions of this podcast for everybody who listens in audio. I appreciate every single one of you. There will be playlists for sneaker content. And now I'm going to get into the creative process. I want to talk about what it takes to make content. I want to show you, give you an inside look into what it's like to be a regular guy but also being a content creator by night. Again, I've said this many times. I don't make money off of this podcast. I don't make money off of the YouTube yet. We're very close to reaching goals. And I feel like by branding the YouTube content as myself and believing in myself as a brand, we, the community that I have built around this content and around the content that I create, that I am a part of, I believe that we are going to make it together. And so I appreciate every one of you. But let's get to a sneaker topic that I want to talk about. And it's the idea of retros. I think we've talked about retros ad nauseum in the sneaker world. We all know what they are. If you don't know what they are, you probably got to sneaker culture yesterday, or you've been legitimately living under a rock, because retros have been a part of the culture for a better part of 25 years. To me, they are the bread and butter of what sort of cements sneaker culture together, because there are iconic shoes, OG or not, that just have a pull that people feel very sentimental, very nostalgic about. And they're retroed. Every so often, Nike and Jordan Brand many times will come out with a shoe that we have seen released before. It'll be another version of it, and it will be eaten up and it will be consumed, and everybody who didn't get it will be waiting for the next iteration. On top of that, a year ago, almost to the day, Nike decided to change CEOs. And with the change of CEO, they were going in a different direction. And that direction was to try and course correct from what had been happening. And I think what has happened is, since the pandemic, since the height of resale, sneakers have cooled off. They're not dead. They just have cooled off. They've cooled off for a great many people who were in it for different reasons than probably the people that listen to this podcast are. And Nike wants to drive up hype for themselves. They're not stupid. They understand what sells shoes. They understand what gets sneakerheads and hype beasts to go out to these releases. And it is the lack of availability. It is hype. But also, they understand clout as well. They understand exclusivity and unobtainable shoes. In sneaker culture, we all know that there are shoes that have a lore. They have this aura around them because they either have never released or had such a limited release that very few people in the world actually have them. These are your unicorns, your undefeated Jordan 4, your Tokyo Jordan 5. There's a litany of them. And what Nike has decided to do is take those out of the vault and release them in mass. And we have debated for the last year whether that's good or bad. I think many people who are okay with it are people who didn't get a chance to have a shoe in the first place and are very excited to hopefully, keyword, have the opportunity to get a pair of these. And I think that what is happening here is Nike is stepping on their own history. I'll explain. In my opinion, Nike and Jordan Brand have a leg up on every other sneaker brand because they have a rich history. Yes, a vast majority of that history does revolve around Michael Jordan and therefore revolves around the Air Jordan. But it's not just Michael Jordan where that history is rich. It is rich in the Air Tech Challenge 2, in tennis. It is rich in skateboarding, Nike SB, the Dunk. There is a rich history that Nike has that no other brand has. I can hear the people already saying, well, Adidas has been around a lot longer. They have. It is peak over longevity, and Jordan Brand beats out every other brand when it comes to their peak. Technically, they're still in their peak. And I think what Nike and Jordan Brand are trying to accomplish here is they're trying to get people excited about sneakers again. Yes, their stock price is not just about sneakers, but sneakers definitely drive a lot of talk. They're always going to have athletics. They're always going to have sponsorships in their back pocket that's going to make them a lot of money. But sneakerheads and sneaker culture have made them a lot of money, especially over the last 10 years. And so in their minds, opening up the vault, giving the people what they think we want is the path to a better stock price. It is the path to generating revenue. I don't necessarily disagree. It is nice to have the ability to get shoes that I didn't have a chance to get, either because they sold out or because I wasn't a part of the culture and didn't have a clue what was going on at the time. I think I told you I recently doubled up on the white cement Jordan 4s. That's because it had been nearly a decade since they came out. I wanted to make sure that I not only got my pair, but had one just in case the other pair wore out. I wanted to be able to bridge the gap between the next time they were released. What I have noticed is that the frequency of retros has been shorter and shorter, meaning we've seen shoes retroed more frequently. On top of that, Nike has put all their chips on the table for 2025, it seems, and they are stacking 2025 in terms of releases that they know people care about, to the point that I wonder if they are diluting their own history, if they're actually overplaying their hand to the point that it is diminishing the value of that history. I'm not talking about just pure nostalgia here. I'm talking about showcasing the history in a way that bridges the gap between the oldest people in the culture and the youngest people in the culture. And I have always maintained, and haven't actually had anybody disagree with me, doesn't mean that it's correct, that in order to keep sneaker culture surviving into the future, now is the time that we have to make people in the younger side of this spectrum care about why sneakers matter in the first place. And who better to do it than the brand that owns the stories, the brand that owns the history? Nobody. I could talk all day long on this podcast about the history and historic moments that matter to me, but if they don't know about it, they don't really care. And you see this a lot in movies or TV. Movies and television shows that I watched in the 80s that I still think are funny, that I still think hold up, younger people look at them and say, it looks lame, it looks bad. Hell, Jaws just turned 50 years old, and I guarantee you when my son gets old enough to watch that, he's gonna tell me that the shark looks fake, even though it's one of the best movies of all time. It's just how it works. Younger people always believe they know better than people who are older. I was there. You were all there. If you're listening and you're in your teens, you are there now. So Nike has an opportunity to try and take these shoes that matter to people in the culture. The Wu-Tang Dunks matter to a certain set of sneaker culture. The Wu-Tang Dunks matter to a certain set of people in sneaker culture. Wu-Tang Clan is old now. They are old men now. Do young people care about Wu-Tang the way that I did, or people a little bit older than me did? That part is where I think Nike needs to start showcasing the history. How can they fix this? Number one, I think they need to stop releasing these coveted shoes so close together. If every single month goes by and there is unicorn after unicorn after unicorn, how valuable are they? How valuable are these releases? There's no time to breathe. Another solution to me is Nike needs to ramp up to these releases by showcasing their own history. An example of how they kind of missed the boat. I did a review on YouTube of the Black Toe Jordan 1, the reimagined version. That shoe is just filled with history knots. It is so cool. A sneaker geek like myself loves that. Absolutely loves that. And there are other shoes like it that have existed. The Black Toe Jordan 1 not only didn't sell, it sat to the point that it got discounts. That's sad. That shoe is part of that history. It just happened to release the same weekend that a Bred Jordan 1, which by the way, didn't really tell any history. And I don't mean that in it doesn't have a place in the history. I mean that shoe, when you look at it, if somebody who was not involved in this culture looked at that, they would have no idea what it was. They would have no idea what it meant because Nike and Jordan Brand didn't push any narratives around that. And that's the thing. History is about narratives. History is about collecting facts to create narratives. Remembering where we came from. We're not doing that. And I feel like the undefeated Jordan 4s are now meaning less to a lot of people because they're coming on the heels of something else. And the Tokyo Jordan 5s are going to come on the heels of that, and so on and so forth. Where is this leading us? I don't know. It worries me though, because I want people to care. I want people younger than me to care about the history. I want people to care about how we got here, because they wouldn't give a shit about these shoes if we didn't have moments that led us up to here. Period. End of story. And unfortunately, like I said, the brand, Nike and Jordan Brand, are not doing a good enough job of bridging that gap. And they need to start doing it, or else you're going to see that history fade. You're going to see it be diminished. And in 10 or 15 years, where will we be? When I'm in my 50s, I may not be still doing this. Other people who are in their 50s who are doing this may not still be doing this. Where will we be? I don't know, but it's something that I worry about. I ask you though, do you care? Does any of this concern you, or do you really just care that you have the opportunity to cop these shoes? You're going to cop them for yourself. Who cares about anything else? I would love to know. Get in touch with me. You can still find me on Instagram at FireFootwearPod, of course. I don't think that is going to change. As I said earlier, Matt Freights on YouTube. That's all you got to search. And there will be Fire Footwear there. There will be sneaker content there. There just will be other content behind the scenes, things that I'm interested in. I believe in myself as a brand, and I know that you do too. And I so am looking forward to you being on this journey with me as we go forward. Fam, I hope this finds everybody well. I hope this finds everybody safe. I always wish that for you. And I will talk to you next time, possibly with a guest. This is Fire Footwear.